Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mana Rising, a podcast all about Hype Horizon, the most hyped esports team on the planet. I am your host, Anthony Angelillo, aka Stay Super, joined by, as always, Venga Dragon. Venga, how are you doing?
Oh, man, you know I am doing well.
This is a podcast about news, updates, experiences, and everything happening in esports and our lives in Hype Horizon. If you like what we're doing, if you think we're doing something cool, sub, like, follow, you know? Do the thing. If you got a question, be sure to join our Discord. You can write into us there and ask about it. The podcast posts on Thursdays to all podcast servers and to YouTube. If we're not on a platform that you want us on, let us know. We'll get there. Today, we're going to be going over Game of the Years for us. I saw some people doing Game of the Years, and I was like, what if we did Game of the Year too? There's a new Valorant map and also a new Disguised Toast Valorant team. And what are your thoughts on MNK and Controller? And Venga, actually, I was going to pitch you on this before we started the show, but we could just do it live on air right here. What are your thoughts on maybe putting out a poll in our Discord for the Hype Horizon Game of the Year?
Yeah, we could do that.
To see what the general, you know, what our team thinks, what our audience thinks, what is their Game of the Year?
Hold on a second. Let me get on that phone right now. And since we're doing it live.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Up Sprinks right now, right at the second. And then we're gonna get, no, we'll do it after the show. But
I'm going to get on that right now. I'm not going to leave anybody.
Yeah, you got to get on that right now. Yeah, but maybe we'll do that. Maybe we could put that in the Discord and then our loving fans here can vote on their favorite game of the year in the Discord channel.
Yeah, by the time you hear this, it'll be there without doubt.
Excellent. Cool. I'm glad you like the idea so much that we've already enacted it. It's already up, just like that. So game of the year, we'll go back and forth here and give me your first game up for consideration the game of the year. And tell me about it.
You know it's going to be Disney, that Disney game that you love, man. I'm stealing it from her. I claimed the Disney game. Disney Daylight Dream.
I saw you post that in the Discord today, and I was like, it must be a coincidence. He's just thinking about Disney Dreamlight Valley.
I actually did Disney Dreamlight Valley on Twitter as well too. I responded to the Hype Horizon Twitter feed about what they were grinding out, and I had to claim it before Stay Super. You know what I'm saying? But my real choice, though, this is an old school game, and it's pretty amazing. There's a couple of different reasons why this is the game of the year for me, and it is Gran Turismo 7.
And new Gran Turismo.
Yeah,
and you've been playing a lot of it.
Yeah, man. You know, just going doing my thing. It's just a game that like reminds me of the old school. So as everybody knows, I'm an old school gamer. Been around for a while, and back in 1997 when Gran Turismo
I was born.
1 came in. Yeah, so I was losing jobs over Gran Turismo 1. Like it would be. You know, you stay up all night with your friends and it's like, it would be like the weekend would end and it was Monday morning. We'd still be playing Gran Turismo. It was time to go to work. We're just like, hey, you know what? Let's just keep playing some Gran Turismo. You know, we call it sick, but that's the main reason is because this game, Polyphony Gaming put it out and they kind of play to that old school. It's really what is the antithesis or I don't not that the
antithesis
the theme it just plays so strongly to the roots of the first one where they brought back some tracks and stuff like that but the other thing too about it that I think is what makes it the game of the year, and it's kind of a weird one, is the fact that when it first came out there was a lot of complaints about the microtransactions and everything like that, and Polyphony Gaming was really good about handling them. And I felt like not only is it a great game, but they showed that they were a good company and they dealt with players really well. So that makes number 3 on my list.
Yeah. I mean, Gran Turismo, a long running franchise. And I know a lot of people have really recently been on the Forza train. But I'm a Sony pony myself. And, you know, I got my PS5 sitting back here behind my computer. And Gran Turismo is a great pick. But I want to tell you about my third place pick. And that is a little game called Olly Olly World. Have you seen Olly Olly World? You know about Olly Olly World?
I know a little bit about it. I've heard of it. I've definitely
I've
seen
played
it.
A lot of Ollie Ollie is a skateboarding game. It's like an arcadey type of skateboarding game. You know, it's 2D. You have a single run. You're going on it. You're trying to get the best score in that run, doing different tricks, grinds, stuff like that. But Ollie Ollie World is just a better take on that. I had a lot of fun this year with Ollie Ollie World, playing Ollie Ollie World. I just really want to say Ollie Ollie World as many times as possible. It's just so fun. It just, you know, rolls right off the tongue.
It does.
Yeah, I had a great time with Ollie Ollie World. I think it's the best iteration of Ollie Ollie there is, in a lull right now where we're all awaiting, all the skateboarding fans are awaiting Skate. And Ollie Ollie just does it the best for a 2D game.
Yeah.
I really enjoy Ollie Ollie World, and I'm really happy to see. I think it actually won something at Game Awards. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it won something at the Game Awards. So big props to Ollie Ollie World. And yeah, that is my third pick for Game of the Year.
Yeah, addictiveness. So
get into your second.
Addictiveness, simplicity, fun.
Yeah.
Ollie Ollie World, period.
Exactly.
So my second game has the number 2 in it, and that is Overwatch 2.
Ooh.
I know that people are what, Overwatch? And yes,
it did come out this year.
Yeah, Blizzard, yeah. Right? So it's just the thing was there was an intention with Blizzard to go back and kind of revisit a game that you kind of felt they abandoned. And the reason why I like the game is because I like Doomfist. And
you like Doomfist? You're a Doomfist man?
Yeah, Doomfist is just the guy that just gets in there. It's like there's just something to be said about getting up in people's faces and just, you know, not having to use a long range weapon. I mean, he's a tank, you know, so you brawl it out. Favorite move, you know, Meteor Strike. I also got the Rocket Punch. And I think that what really made the game Overwatch 2 good was their addition of the 5v5. So that's my second choice.
I'm really happy with that. Honestly, probably should have made my list because Overwatch 2. I played Overwatch at launch, right? That was a game that I played when it came out. Really bummed I don't have the Hearthstone card back for it because I didn't play Hearthstone at that time. But Overwatch 2 was a game that I really enjoyed, and I actually put more hours into this year than I put into Overwatch in general. I've actually played a lot of Overwatch 2. I had discovered my love for being a Mei main, you know, really just freezing people and just getting in there. I tried out being a healer for the first time. It's not me, man. I'm a fragger through and through, you know. I got to hop on the DPS.
With Overwatch 2, one of the main things, like we talked about it with Gran Turismo, how good they were at solving problems. Well, Blizzard had the normal problems. So I just wanted to talk about that negative about it is the battle rewards. Despite those, I think that it was pretty bad. But the gameplay is pretty good. The only thing is that I'm just not sure how Overwatch 2 will look in 2023. Like, will it be a game that people are really going to be into? Because according to the whole thing, it's like if you look at what's going on, it'll probably take you like literally, they say, 300 years to get the reward schedule, you know, going to benefit from it. So that's my only negative with it. But yeah, it makes my number 2. I think it's a good one.
Great game for sure. I'm really glad that was on your list. I'm really glad we got to talk about that.
Yep.
I want to talk about my next game though.
Go ahead.
And that is a little game called Cult of the Lamb. You know, two for two on indies here. Loving me some indie games. But Cult of the Lamb is a little roguelike. Have you heard of Cult of the Lamb at all?
I have not. No, I have not.
Cult of the Lamb is a little roguelike. Have you heard of Hades?
Yes.
I love Hades. I'm a big fan of Hades. Hades is actually planning that to be my next tattoo as well. I'm going to get Zagreus' sword, I think. Dope game. Hades is a roguelike Cult of the Lamb is a roguelike like Hades. So you're going out, you get a different weapon every time, you're going through dungeons, you're crawling through it. You're a little lamb that was brought back from the dead, and you raise a cult of people in which you sacrifice to get upgrades. So you dungeon crawl, you fight these like five, I guess they're like deity people. And then you go back, you raise up your cult, you get them to be the best cattle they can be. And then you just sacrifice them and upgrade yourself to get further into the game. It's actually a super, super cool little cute game. And I put a decent amount of hours into it this year. And I think it was just really, really good. I really enjoyed my time with it on my Switch. I don't actually bust up my Switch for a lot, but I have two games that I played on my Switch here, Ollie Ollie World and Cult of the Lamb. They were both Switch games. And yeah, I really enjoyed them both. Whole bunch of fun.
record.
What's up?
Stay Super thinks that killing lamb is cute. That's all. For the record. Sacrificing lambs.
You can have that on record, but I'll have you know, that lamb is adorable. Just as adorable as your next game, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, this was kind of a hard one for me because it was a game that I didn't personally play. And that's kind of weird and awkward to say. I know that's weird, but it was God of War Ragnarok. That's my choice because I just looked at the game. And
man, Venga, that sure is convenient that my game of the year would be God of War Ragnarok.
Yeah. So why don't you talk about that? Because the reason why I chose it is just because it can't be denied. I mean, the game is just so sick. And what they did have Ragnarok 4 or Ragnarok, as you would say.
Yeah.
My accent, I apologize. But the game was good. Like Ragnarok 4 was good. So I looked at God of War and I was just like, man, I got to start playing that. But it was one of those ones that I didn't want to get too involved with because I know that I'd just be losing jobs over, if you know what I mean.
heavily, heavily recommend God of War Ragnarok. God of War Ragnarok is a masterpiece of a game. It's a 10 out of 10 for me. It was my most anticipated game of the year. It's the game that I bought a PS5 for. I mean, what more can I say? I mean, I have the Leviathan axe tattooed on my arm. Like I love God of War. I love God of War Ragnarok. I don't want to spoil anything here. I'm not going to spoil anything here, but the story concludes in a way that left me satisfied. It was a game that came out that I couldn't put down. Every single night I was playing for hours on end. The side stuff is so good in that game, but I couldn't help but just mainlining it. And then I got to right about the end of the game and I was like, all right, I got to get some side stuff. I want to do some side stuff. I don't want this to be over yet. And I just played that game so hard and so quickly and I consumed it. It's like shoving a whole pizza in your mouth. You know what I mean? I just kind of where I was at with God of War. It is my game of the year. God of War 2018 was my game of the year that year. I love God of War.
Yeah.
Shout outs to God of
War. Yeah. Well, the thing that got me into it as well. And I is that I just, like I said, didn't play the game. I was more involved in just the storyline and looking at it. Like I kind of binge watched some YouTube stuff where they just forward through the gameplay and stuff. And it was the awards. There was a gaming awards and I can't remember exactly where they were, but it was Christopher Judge who plays Kratos.
Yeah. 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 And at the Game Awards.
Yeah. And just seeing his emotion and the way that he was so thankful and just such a like awesome guy. And then to find that he was behind the Kratos character, it's just like, that's what got me interested in taking a look at it. And I was just like, whoa, this game is great. He's great. And just like all the people that are involved in the whole production of it. And I didn't realize how much went behind the games. I was thinking like the human side of like how hard these guys work and everything. So it's just incredible, like visually the way the game is and the storyline and everything just really just moved me. So that if that makes a great game for somebody without playing it, there you have it.
Yeah. You know, I want to put out there too, that we didn't plan this, by the way, we both didn't plan. Neither of us knew our each other's picks before going into this discussion. So it's kind of crazy that we both had God of War at the top, but you know what? Well earned. I didn't play Elden Ring. I know people love Elden Ring. That was what game of the war? What one game of the year at the Game Awards?
Yeah,
so I can't speak to that. Yeah, but
I had that like as a backup in case like it was just something like I was going to mention Elden Ring too. I mean, you can't say a game of the year without Elden Ring.
I was thinking about getting into Elden Ring, so might be a thing that I do. I might be playing Elden Ring this year. But just fun fact for you too. Did you know that Christopher Judge actually just had the record for the longest award show speech?
Did he?
Yeah, that you said you watched the speech. That speech, I think, was like 8 minutes.
Oh, that
was
great.
The longest award show speech ever. At any award show.
Well, I'll tell you this: it wasn't long enough because the guy is just awesome. I mean,
if you're curious, he did another one at 2018 as well. He also had a pretty long speech at 2018. So, just as long as. What's that?
Gotta Google it. Google it. Find it if you haven't seen it. Great.
Oh yeah,
great
yeah. Speech for sure. Go watch it.
Yep.
It's long though, but
8 minutes.
Not as long as that segment was because we're getting to the next segment. Let's talk. Let's talk about the new Val stuff. So a new Valorant map just got added in. It's called Lotus. It just got put in today. I'm reading from Dexerto. They have a little blurb about the map. Lotus is the first traditional map in Valorant that features architectural elements, stepwells, rock cut architecture, and the Dravidian style, along with new mechanics, rotating doors, a destructible door/wall, and a silent drop. Like Haven, Lotus will also features three plant sites. The map seems like a maze at first, especially for having so many ways to travel between different sites. You'll need to check each and every corner in Lotus, as there are plenty of them where opponents can potentially hide. So here's the thing, Venga. I know you're a Valorant consumer. You like Valorant. I really wanted to include this for you. You've talked about Valorant before.
Tell me.
I've never played Valorant.
Tell me.
I'll start with that.
Why? Why?
Mainly because it came out and it was M&K only. I'm a controller player. I don't know how to play M&K.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
But I want to preface that with, so off stream, off everything, I've been learning M&K these past 2 weeks. I've been learning M&K. So will you see me playing Val? Potentially. I'm learning on Apex right now. I was learning on Apex and Overwatch. So I'm getting in there. I'm learning how to play M&K, and I'm pretty excited about it. So in addition to the new map, have you heard anything about the new map?
I have not. This is the first time.
It came out today. It literally comes out, like, it came out January 10th. So I'm assuming you're probably going to hear more about it coming up soon.
What? That's pretty cool about our Discord is we do have the patch bot, which comes in every day and puts in whatever the patches are on like a whole bunch of different genres. And I can see it right here. So if you go to the Hype Horizon Discord, which is hypehorizon.com/Discord, you can join and you'll see that the patch bot at 4:44 p.m. today, December 10th, put in Valorant patch notes 6.0. So there it is, the new map pool, Lotus, like Stay Super
yeah,
said.
So I'm definitely going to be trying it out. But also, I wanted to bring this up too. And, you know, feel free to stop me if you want. I saw on the Hype Horizon Twitter, we're looking for Val players.
Yeah, definitely. That's
Might as well call that out here, right? We're looking for Val players.
Yeah, we got to get some Valorant going, because firstly, just I really have a lot of passion for the game itself. And I like the community and what it stands for. And I also feel like it's the one that is right now with the ease of entry, meaning getting into it while it's still growing. It's like getting into, say, Call of Duty or into any other FPS games. You're going to have some type of difficulty getting in there. But with Valorant, the fact that it's growing and they're putting a lot into it, you know, everybody's involved in making Valorant the next big thing. So we want to be there. Apply now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Make sure you apply. Also, Hype Horizon, just a great place to be. If you haven't, you've been listening to this podcast for 4 episodes now, and you haven't determined that this is a good spot to be, you've been doing it wrong, because this is a great spot to be. But in addition to the Valorant map, I also want to talk about Disguised Toast, the Hearthstone player, that guy who plays Variety now, has started his own Valorant roster.
You know what I'm saying? Of course. I mean, this guy's Toast has got to get in there. You know what I mean? He's doing his thing again. He's taken when I first started playing Hearthstone, this guy's Toast was in there. You know what I mean? And now all of a sudden he's going to take over Valorant. I think he's going to be successful. It's pretty cool to hear that he's doing it. It's from what I understand, it's going to be on the NA Challengers qualifiers. He's looking to get into that. Yeah.
So I got an article open right now. It's from Declan McLaughlin. This is at Dexterto as well. Popular streamer Jeremy Disguised Toast Wang has announced his Valorant roster called Disguised, which will compete in the North American Challengers Open Qualifiers. With the Open Qualifiers for the Challengers League beginning on January 9th, Disguised Toast has officially put together a roster that will vie for a spot in the Tier 2 competition, as reported by Dot Esports. The team includes former Knights Trio Damien, yep. XXIF, Cook, Drake, Exalt, Bronley, and I'm going to butcher this. It's AMGALAN. So Amgalan
Gangsta.
Yeah.
Nemec BR.
Yeah, that's that. I'm so sorry that I'm butchering your name. really trying my best here. And then Joshua Steele Nissan, formerly of 100 Thieves and T1, and ex-First Gaming member Joseph Clear Allen to round out the roster, which is coached by Kyle Ocean O'Brien. So, I mean, that's pretty cool, especially seeing a name like 100T in there. Now, I mean, you know, again, I haven't played Valorant, as I've said. Are these other teams big? As someone who's been following it, are they pretty big?
The team that comes to mind right off the bat that jumped out at me is Knights. And big shout out to Knights over there. You can check out my buddy. His name is SFX. Big shout out to you, man. You are on Twitter. He's a community manager over there. Great guy. He's with Knights GG. You can find them at Knights. That's like, you know, the Knights of the Round Table. .gg, so knights.gg. Yeah, so that's a team that I do know. They're pretty cool. They're involved with a hip-hop artist. I'm gonna check out who that is again. I just will look at that.
Yeah go right ahead. I mean 100 Thieves obviously sticks out, and you're saying that Knights is big. This seems like a pretty stacked roster here.
It's a solid tier two team. It probably could be just right at the under tier one, and it's a good idea to come in at tier two because, you know, you don't want to get the floor wiped with you. You can, you know, or you wipe the floor you know what I'm saying? So it's a good place to be, right in the middle.
Yeah, reading further here, the Knights core had a decent showing in 2022 as the team made the VCT Stage 1 North American Challengers League. So, yeah, exactly what you were just saying. And they managed to qualify for the playoffs, but were one of the first teams to be sent home. And then Steele had a less exciting 2022 with T1 as a squad failed to qualify for any VCT events. So, seems cool. Excited. That's pretty dope. I'm excited also, you know, to try Valorant and to actually, get in there and maybe I'll know what you're talking about there, Venga. Maybe I'll know, you know, what's up with everything after I get in there and get trying it. So yeah, I'm going into our next topic. I want to talk about MNK versus Controller. What side are you on? What side is superior? What side? No, I mean, you know, not like that. But I always see a lot of discourse about MNK versus Controller. And as a resident Controller player for a long time, I never thought Controller was broken, but a lot of people seem to think like it is. They say, oh, you have aim assist, you know, you have aimbot, just plug in a controller, you know? So I wanted to, you know, talk to you about it, see what you thought, stuff like that. And big really into, as everyone knows here, I'm big into the Apex scene. Apex is where I live. That is my home. There's a lot of people swapping to Controller from MNK, and MNK players are seen less often. So yeah, I just want to talk to you about Controller versus MNK. You said you have some thoughts on it. What are you thinking? What do you got?
Well, I think that, you know, it's like one of those things where you are like team Controller or team MNK, you know? So yeah. And I'm on neither team. I'm just I'm more of a player that will, or consumer of it. And as long as I think that the playing field is even, meaning if you're allowed to use a controller, use a controller. If having aim assist or whatever it may be is against the rules and it's easier with a controller or whatever it may have you, like anything like that, and you're violating the rules, then that's bad. So it's like kind of like when you have like deck trackers in Hearthstone.
Yeah.
If you can do it with a pen and paper and you're allowed to and it's within the rules, there's nothing wrong with that. So it's just a tool that one can use. And that's where I stand. So I'm kind of on both sides, kind of playing the fence here.
Yeah, I never really understood really until getting into Apex. Like, you know, there was a lot of people who were like, oh my God, he's on controller. Oh my God, of course he's going to. And the argument is, you know, when you're up close, aim assist is strong. And, you know, you're going to miss less when you're closer to somebody. Obviously, aim assist falls off. You know, if you can't map somebody across the map with aim assist. That's not how it works. Aim assist doesn't work when you're that far away. Aim assist is really for more of the close engagements.
Yeah.
And people will get, you know, really upset when people are on controller. And we're seeing now, like, one of the biggest teams in Apex is obviously TSM. TSM, their main guy, Imperial Howl, one of the biggest streamers in Apex, has swapped to controller. And that's like a big topic issue because he was a pretty big MNK player. But the team comp in Apex is actually shifted to being almost like a two controller, one MNK. you got your two fraggers and then you got your one person on M&K like doing the stuff. And we've even seen people like, again, Hal, he would be like, oh yeah, I'm going to play up until halfway through the tournament with controller. And then I'm going to swap to M&K right at the end game, or I'm going to swap to controller right at the end game from M&K.
Yeah.
It's just like super kind of crazy the way that this stuff happens. And like, it's a little wild just to see all the discourse, but then we're kind of here where then the pros are all kind of like, okay, well, controller is good, so we're all just going to like play on controller. And like a lot of people are switching to controller. It's super interesting to see. And then, you know, you have games like Valorant where there isn't controller support. And then you have games like Overwatch where there is no aim assist for controllers. So M&K is just the way to play. Yeah. So yeah, I just thought it was an interesting topic. It was something that I wanted to bring up because I see it floating around a lot, you know?
I feel like there should possibly be one or the other, though, in a sense. If it does give a super big advantage, then, and it ruins the gameplay, then that's one thing. Now, if it, yeah. So the thing is, though, is if you can counteract it by using a controller, then it, like, so in other words, maybe it'll speed up the game or it'll make it even, as long as what I'm saying is like the level of controller players becoming so much better by using a controller, like if it affects the skill level, like it amplifies it. Does that make sense? Like if it's if that's too high, then that's bad. In other words, if things that will just like get like it gets stupid and too fast, it's just too crazy and the game becomes really unfun, then that's a bad thing as well too. Like if it becomes uncompetitive as well.
I almost think it has to do with almost like the comp of the game, because currently the game right now is super like aggro and like everyone wants to just like go fast. And it used to be about, everyone always reminisces about, oh, there was a Watson meta and Watson's a character where you place like fences. So like, you know, you place fences in a building that, and if you walk through them, they shock you and they slow you.
Right.
So, you know, you fence up, you play your position, you play your zone, you play, you know, you're going for the position, you're not going for kills. But lately the game has turned into, oh, you just need to have kills in ranked, because if you don't, you lose RP. And that's just to do with the ranked changes. But there's, if it wasn't that way, I don't think controllers would be as viable as they are. And I'm just, as a, you know, me as a person, people are like, oh, controllers are broken. I pick up my controller and I'm like, it doesn't feel that broken. You know, like I'm missing a lot of shots. I'm not, maybe that's just to do with my skill level. But yeah, it's just super interesting to see where the game is going and where it is. And you know, even playing like Overwatch, like when I play Overwatch and I told everyone, oh yeah, I'm playing on controller, they're like, what?
Oh my god,
you're what are you doing? You're playing on controller? And I'm like, yeah. And you know, it's crazy because again, that game doesn't have aim assist in on the PC version, so it's hard to for everyone else to be like, oh, why are you playing on M&K is like so superior in that game, why are you on controller? So
yeah,
I don't know, I just thought it was an interesting topic. Wanted to bring it up because I've just been seeing it floating around. I've been seeing a lot of people swapping. So
yeah, I think that there's an element of, also there's an ego involved in it as well too. What happens is with some players is they want to be M&K, and then there's controller players and they see it like as not being as good, and that's kind of stupid, right? You get no points by handicapping yourself. And you know, it's called a handicap for a reason, right? If you know, if one is so much better than the other, and you decide, well, you know, I use a controller and I won and I beat you, or you know, do you really want to be the guy? You know, I was M&K, but and that's why I lost. You know, it's just because it's like you don't get any points for that. You know, it's like,
oh man, let me tell you, you know. Apex is a game where you could swap your name a whole bunch. Like everybody's always changing their names, like some weird stuff. The amount of "you got controllered" that I see as people's names, like that's not something that I don't see. Like I see that often. I see people with the name "you got controllered" in the kill feed. Like, oh, like just chill out. Like it's fine. Like you don't have to. Like I feel like we're in the console wars here, but the input wars. You know, it doesn't matter what you play on, as long as we can all play together. Who cares?
So you remember the in Overwatch? Speaking of that, they took out the feature where you could praise the other teammate, or you could praise even your competitor, like give them a trophy. And of course, you know, it was meant to be like that you would like, it's like a sign of a good game, you know, oh yeah, you're really saying it. But of course the players in the community, instead of like when somebody would play really bad, the other team would vote that person the best.
They would all just tweet. Yeah. They'd be like, oh, this was the best player on the team. Yeah. You know, real MVP over here. Yeah,
MVP. They voted MVP as an insult. And it's so funny. It occurred to me, I was like reading the comments on a YouTube video and somebody said, oh, yeah, I really missed the fact that, you know, you could get voted up as the best player, even if you weren't on the same team. And I really miss that. I used to get it all the time, and it used to make me feel real happy. And of course, in the comments below, right up his reply to that comment was, get good.
Yeah, rough day at the office, huh?
It's like, dude doesn't realize that he's a very bad player. And,
yeah,
and they were just, and they were flaming him. He's all depressed that he is no longer there. So, but that's all good, though.
You know. Good feature in theory, but in practice, not so much.
All right.
Yeah, so let us know. Are you team controller? Are you team M&K? What do you prefer? You got any thoughts on the input wars here? Let us know in the comment or join our Discord and, you know, talk to us about that. But that's going to be it for the input section. We actually have an interview coming up with one AZ Desert Smurf. She's super cool. She's a member of our team, and we wanted to bring her on and talk to her about her stream and stuff like that. So we are going to get into that in just a second. But before we do, I want to tell you about our sponsor. Shout out to our sponsor, Jester. With Jester, you can support your favorite streamer and challenge them to do cool things, all while providing a better revenue split to them. With Jester, there are no scheduled payout periods. Funds from challenges are immediately added to your balance and pay out whenever you want them to. Jester drives engagement with your community, turning your chat into quest-giving NPCs for your stream. So be sure to use Jester for your next stream or ask your favorite streamer to sign up for Jester today. That's Jester at J3STER.GG today. So yeah, I would just like to welcome AZ Desert Smurf to the show. Smurf, how are you today? How you doing?
Oh, doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course, of course. So you've been a member of Hype Rising for how long now?
I think it's just been a month.
Just over a month.
Yes. So just a short time.
It seems like a long time. And with all the
things you've been so active.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Honestly, like you've been doing like a whole bunch. It was really cool to cast with you a little while ago. Venga, I don't know if you know, but we casted a few weeks ago. So.
Yeah.
You were in the chat. You were in the chat.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what's going on ever. So, yeah, I have no idea.
It's not like we talked to you about it or anything, you know? We cast the TNT. It was super fun. Super fun to do together.
Yes, it was.
I want to get into you. So, what got you into streaming?
Well, I, about a year ago, had a very big life-changing medical condition. I developed very severe arthritis in my hands. I lost the ability to type. I lost the ability to write, use. I couldn't open jars. It was very debilitating. And it wasn't just in my hands. It was through my whole body, with the kind of arthritis that keeps you up at night. And it stopped me from doing all the normal things that I would do in life. I was very active, very social, out and competing. And I wasn't handling that very well. So I had dabbled in streaming just prior to that happening. It came on very suddenly. But then when it did happen, I went at it full steam. I needed that social outlet. I wanted to still game. And I just dedicated myself to streaming on a daily basis, meeting people, visiting other streamers, and getting that outlet. It helped me along with the recovery to where we got the condition under control. I'm back to competing, but I'm not going to leave streaming. I just enjoy it too much. The people are great. It's fun engaging with new people. And I just love the Hearthstone community as a whole.
I gotta just jump in and say that without a doubt, if anybody can visit the stream, the AZ Desert Smurf stream, you would definitely be entertained. Great caster and great streamer. It's just such a pleasure to have you, you know, in the community and as a streamer. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, oh, thank you.
For sure. Usually you can find her. Is it usually coffee and Hearthstone?
It's normally coffee and Hearthstone. I have the most energy in the early mornings. Yes. So I stream from 6 a.m. until normally about 7:30, depending on my work meeting schedule. But I always have a stream of indeterminate length on Sundays. I like to get some time in the afternoons as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just lost my train of thought as I was, question popped into my head and I lost it. So I'm going to ask you a different question. So you've been streaming for about a year. How did you find Hyperizon? How did you start at Hyperizon?
Well, that all has to do with Tito Santana. He joined my stream. I met him and I met Jack D. Ripper. And those two are the ones that really encouraged me to apply. It didn't take a lot of encouragement. They mentioned it one day in stream and I applied after I ended stream. When I saw what was going on and what it involved, I was very interested. So that's how I found out about Hyperizon. And the rest is all history. Once I saw the opportunities, I just jumped in full steam.
Yeah, that's really cool because one of the things that we pride ourselves here at the org is having people just like you, and you know the fact that you see outwardly, you know, what was going on and just be like, yeah, I got to be a part of it. It's just great because we really pride ourselves on just making people happy and also like being supportive. And so, you know, we're just glad you're here. I am. I know Super is.
You know. Yeah. It's been super cool. You know, it's been super cool to get to know everybody. It's really cool that Tito pulled Jen. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, you know,
shout out to both of them.
Jack Derricker and Tito. Yes.
I love them both. Jack was one of the first people to like welcome me in after I made it in. He's great. I love them both.
Funny part is Stay Super's entry to Hyperizon and Hyperizon was a little bit different. I just threw Say Super right in the lion's den.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Need not apply. Just get on and start casting. Let's go. And I thought he didn't like me when we first met in the meeting. And then he was like, he became like a caster. And then he's like, he hit me up to do this show.
Yeah. And then he was like, oh, this super guy doesn't like me. And then I was like, hey, you want to start a podcast? And he's like, oh, he still doesn't like me though. just wants to host a show with me every week. Yeah, no problem.
Well, I will say the first time that I did the casting, it was kind of jumping in, you know, completely cold. I had a lot of glitches, technical glitches, because it was with the Great Staketacular.
A lot of issues with his setup.
Exactly. And even my camera at that time, I was having issues. My computer wouldn't recognize a good quality camera, so I didn't have very good video. It was all over the place. I couldn't see the YouTube stream to get to cast. So it was funny, but we worked through it and the next one was much more successful. I had a better idea of what to expect and look forward to doing more in the future.
Oh yeah. That next one was great because, Smurf ran it and I just sat there and I was like, ah, my time. Well, you get to deal with everything and I'll just sit here and talk into this mic.
that's like, it's pretty crazy. Is like, you never know who you're going to meet too. And when Smurf came into the org, we found out that you actually have experience though, as a caster, right?
Yes.
That you did. So why don't you talk about that?
Sure. Well, as I've mentioned, and a lot of people know on stream, I was a previous employee at Blizzard. And at the end of every sprint, sprint planning session is where you do your development activities. And then once at the end of sprint is supposed to be when you release. And then we would celebrate. One time, we started doing casting for Overwatch. And I started with Overwatch and would cast events for the internal employees at Blizzard. We would be testing in alpha and testing out even the hosting software. So it was a great opportunity. I learned a lot about what people want to see or hear about during the games. And that's why in the most recent one, I brought in the deck lists. The deck lists are very important to help to orient the viewers as to what they're seeing in the match. So tried to incorporate that in between games so that it would have, there would be a little more point of reference.
Yeah.
Okay, always aim to improve. Always aim to improve. That's the deal.
Yes.
Yeah, that's. I remember you were telling me about that before we started casting. That's super cool that you actually worked at Blizzard and, you know, you were able to have that background before you came here. And I know I asked you this before, but we're on air now, so I can happily ask you it again. So, yeah, I know that you really loved Overwatch. What got you started on Hearthstone?
So I've played Hearthstone since the very beginning. I've got all the cards. It's never a problem for me to build a deck, so since I've been at it for so long. But I didn't start playing ranked until this year. I for some reason, I had this phobia against competing in ranked. I started it in January, started trying to progress through the levels, and, you know, it just, it became really fun. I got to Legend by April, April or March. It was pretty quick to get to Legend once I started playing seriously. I've since, you know, I regularly get to Legend in both Standard and Wild. I do prefer to play Wild, but I didn't ever focus on it before because I was really into World of Warcraft and Overwatch. I had a special affinity for Overwatch because that game was developed while I was working at Blizzard. So I got to play from the early alpha until launch, and just being part of the development of a game, really, it made me really enjoy it. It wasn't until another injury that I stopped playing Overwatch and looked for something else to devote to. And I dabbled in Borderlands and the Borderlands expansion, and, you know, just didn't really find anything until, again, another, you know, health issue focused me back on Hearthstone. So I've always been here and I love it. And maybe that's why I like Wild so much more than just Standard, because it does have all those decks available to you all the way back to the beginning.
You only heard it here first. Always been here. Always been here.
Unlike me, who just walked in the door. You said Wild's great because all the decks are in there. I said Standard's great because I don't know anything that came before Nathria. So here I am.
No, I completely understand that viewpoint. If you're just starting out, there's a lot to learn. And honestly, it's good that there is Standard, because it would deter new players from joining the game and the community if they had to, you know, invest such a significant amount of money to get all of the old expansions. So it is probably better to have a condensed meta in Standard available so new players can join in.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So we're talking about Hearthstone. Obviously, that's the main game you stream. Do you stream anything else? Is there anything else that you're streaming?
I did stream some World of Warcraft when the Dragonflight expansion came out. I've streamed Marvel Snap. I tried that a little bit. It's not as easy to stream Marvel Snap because of the configuration of the game.
Yeah.
There's some glitches. It's
vertical.
Yes. But I did stream that. Also, Orcs Must Die. That's an old game that my boyfriend and I both played. And yes, we bought the expansion. And when I first started streaming, that was one of the games that I was streaming. I don't think there's anything else. I didn't stream any Overwatch. I considered it, but I've just been out of the game so long. It's not as enjoyable for me now. Or it'd be Overwatch 2 at this point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're kind of the same. they're pretty close.
They are.
They're pretty.
It's five man or six man is really the difference.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, is there anything that you're looking forward to stream? Like, you know, is there anything that you're looking to stream?
Considering doing the Guardians of the Galaxy. I bought that over Christmas, and I did at least open it up. I don't know.
that's the bare minimum you have to do. You have to at least open the game up. Yeah.
Yes. And I tried it out. I also bought the Witcher series.
Highly recommend The Witcher. I love The Witcher 3.
I started that as well, The Witcher 3, and I was struggling to get the settings correct. The mouse sensitivity issues were making it difficult with my hands and being able to play. But I think once I get that fixed and reduce the sensitivity, I'll also be able to play that. So I might be streaming those two. We'll see how it goes.
It sounds like you're doing a lot of like single player type stuff. Is there anything else that's like multiplayer that you're looking forward to streaming, or really just kind of like, you know, honing in on like the Guardians, the Witcher, you know, Hearthstone, while it's a PvP game and while it's a multiplayer game, it's not real. Like you're by yourself. You're playing by yourself. Is there anything else that you're looking that's like, you know, maybe team based or something like that?
Not at this time. I think the biggest thing that would include multiple players are just BGs in Hearthstone. I do try to invite my viewers to join in on games. I've also started this thing where I play two BG accounts in the same game. It's very challenging.
Hold on. Back up. So are you telling me that you have two separate systems next to each other, that you're playing two different accounts, and when it's your turn, you just swap over from account to account?
Yes. So I have... I'm using my boyfriend's account, Hearthstone account, on my iPad, and I'm playing another game on the PC. And the nice thing is if one of the accounts loses in the round, then I just go and spectate the other one on the iPad. But I will say there's been several times where I try to move the play or make the plays on the PC when it's in fact on the iPad, and I'm, you know, struggle for a minute. It's like, why is it not moving? But yes, I'm playing dual games now, and it makes it a lot of fun. It's really easy at the beginning, but towards the end, when you really have to have a lot of actions and a lot of buffs and a lot of, you know, it's that APM, doing both the PC and the iPad is a challenge. I've already had some misplays where I was playing dragons on the iPad and demons on the PC, and I put a Felbat, which is a big demon buff, in my dragon build, and didn't realize it until after I lost the round. And no, I was like, what am I doing? But that's the whole reason that I do this, is just because of those experiences. It just, it brings more energy and fun to the stream itself. I'm definitely not as serious about VGs as I am about ranked.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotta tell you this story here. It's not about one-upping you, but Stay Super was so... like impressed by the dual PC, right? So a lot of people don't know this, or some people do, I don't know, but I used to be a pro poker player and I would play live poker. So one day I go down and I register for a $1,500 tournament, and I didn't think I was going to get in because I was like on the waiting list, right? And then, so I registered into another $1,500 tournament. So two tournaments.
No. Oh, wow.
And man. So turns out I get off the waiting list, and I'm now in the $1,500 tournament. So I go to the one that I registered before, and I try to get my money back from that. They're like, nope, you can't do it. So I'm in a live tournament, playing in two tournaments, running across the thing, playing at two different tables in the casino. So I'd like play like 15 minutes at one table, run over to the next to play 15 minutes at the other. And let's just say it didn't work out too well for me.
I can't imagine it did work. Yeah, nice little jaunt. You get back, it's your turn, you're just out of breath, you know?
Yeah, instead of losing 1,500, I lost 3,000. You know what I mean? That's basically
Oh, man. That's rough. That's still cool, though. For both of you. I mean, the habit, playing on two different accounts, it just seems like it adds... Same with playing two different games of poker. Like, it just seems like it adds a lot of chaos. And I could see that it's good for the content, you know? I can't imagine it's good for Vega competing, but for content, that sounds great. I mean, you know, it'll be more hectic. You know, you have to have your mind a little split. You have to be looking at two different perspectives, two different hands of cards. So, yeah, that seems super cool for like content and stuff like that.
What I've seen somebody do also is play NA and then play EU at the same time. So they're like ranking up at both. So they have both streams going at the same time, or just one stream going, but they're playing on the NA server on one account and ranking up. This was in standard, and then then they have their EU account open and they're trying to get the legend at both at the same time and just switching between tables. And it's just crazy, but it was cool.
No, I like the idea for sure. I'm sure in practice it's not as easy as it sounds, but the idea sounds really good. I've been trying to remember that question that I was to ask you at the beginning, and I just am really, really blanking at it.
Well, that sucks.
I can offer one thing about my stream. My sidekick that's always a part of the stream, Old Dog.
Old Dog.
And he is exactly that. He's Old Dog. He has his own emotes. He regularly joins in on stream. We have Old Dogisms. Old Dog is over 18 years old. I've had him for 15 years and adopted him as a, well, actually, no, I've had him for 16 years, adopted him as a rescue, and they told me he was 3 years old. So that's well over 18 now, could be 19, maybe even approaching 20. But he's still carrying on. But that has become a mainstay in my stream. His sidekick puppy. Between the two of them, they're the complete opposite personalities. You know, one old and wise and definitely showing his age. The other is just spastic. She runs around. She gets zoomies in the office, though she's pretty good when the headset's on. She knows not to bother me when I am recording or streaming or working for that matter.
So you know, you're streaming, you're cranking a nice long stream. They got to go to the bathroom. They're just hanging out. They're not interrupting
you.
Headphones are on. Mom is off.
No, they will tell me. They're very blunt about it. If they have to go out, they have to go out now. So that the be right back screen goes up and I go out. Or if I'm in the middle of a game, I can ask my partner to take them out, and he normally will help out.
Is there any channel points or anything related to the
Well, not to Old Dog, but since I'm in the Arizona desert, I use cacti. So saguaro cactus are native to Arizona and the Sonoran desert region. They're not found anywhere else in the world. So since I'm all about Arizona, I had to use something that represented the desert. So.
Yeah, that checks out. That makes sense.
And of course, Smurfs, right? You got to add the Smurfs in there. That makes it total cohesion. I mean,
I know. Well, that's how I came up with the name. But the name Smurf is actually my old high school basketball nickname. Smurfs were popular back in the old days, the Smurf cartoon. And I have no problem. My last name is Murphy. And so we got Smurf, and that's what they called me. And it just stuck. I've used Smurf and Smurf, any variation of it, Smurfette, as my gamer tags for my whole life now.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you know, I feel like every episode I like to comment on the fact that, because we're always talking about someone's name, and I'm like, yeah, my name's not that cool. Didn't get that from anything. So I'm not gonna beat that dead horse again. You know, we're gonna leave that be. Don't need to bring that up again. But I did want to ask you, so do you have any goals streaming? Do you have any goals with your stream that you're trying to hit? Do you have any goals with the team that you want to hit? Like, what's something that you want to hit coming up in the future?
To be honest, I want to keep my stream smaller. I like to have a lot of engagement with a little people. Then, like this morning, Heart Queen raided me, and there were 36 plus people in chat, and that's too much. I lose track. I could miss a conversation, and to me, missing a comment is almost devastating to me. I don't want anyone to ever feel ignored, so I want to just stay a small streamer and just continue to have grow a relationship with other streamers, and you know, just continue with that. But on the other hand, I do want to start competing again. So I want to become a competitive Hearthstone player. And I want to continue to do the hosting. Casting in general is a lot of fun. And I think you need to be good at it as well. Good at Hearthstone to be a good caster. So I really plan to grow in that area and just leave my stream as a fun, casual outlet where I can just discuss new decks, talk with people. And I never want it to be a job. So that I just want to keep it very casual.
Yeah. I've always said that, like, one of the things when it comes to, like, being a content creator and this journey that some of the people are on is that you have your stream and it's sort of the celebration of hard work. All of the other things that go in there are like getting people to come and view, or whether it be like competing competitively or whatever it may be. Streaming is a great outlet to just be celebrating with your audience. And it sounds like the thing is you're a big streamer with a big heart, with a smaller community and more intimate community. So that's really good. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always get these messages, of course, is from a lot of graphic designers and people trying to promote. And they're like, well, don't you want to grow? And I'm like, no, I'm really happy with how it's growing just organically on its own. My community, honestly, it's a lot of more elderly in this environment. I'm definitely on the upper end of the age bracket. But surprisingly, the people that join in on my stream are also in that age bracket and same in the same type of professional environment. We have a rant emote because a lot of times we come in and discuss the funny things that we experience on a day-to-day basis in our professional lives. Working in IT and operations support, you always have some stories. So that's another thing that comes into my stream. But I found it very interesting that that happened on its own. It wasn't like I went out and advertised, you know, hey, I'm an older IT professional and now I'm streaming. It just happened. So I was actually very happy with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome for sure. It's cool to see, you know, it's interesting to see the take that you don't want to grow, but it's really cool to see the take that, like, it's about the community. It's not about the numbers. It's not about the, you know, it's not about the growth. It's about making connections. And it's like you said earlier, you want the social aspect of what being a streamer could be. You want to make the friends that come into your chat to, you know, talk to you, like, actually talk to you about the game. And, you know, I really like that take. I think it's a good take.
Thank you.
Me too.
Yeah. It's funny. I wanted to go back to something you said earlier because it pinged in my head and made me think about a story. I think you are right that in casting you have to be good at a game, and I think that that's cool. And I think that the, you know, wanting to compete in that game as well is something that's so super cool because I think it benefits you, you know, as a player and as a caster. But as soon as you said that, it made me think of I was a competitive Pokemon player. I still am, I'm going to say, but, for the Pokemon TCG up until this, when I started Hearthstone, then I kind of just was like, yeah, I want to play Hearthstone for a little while. But we recently had a new caster come into, the Pokemon TCG, and he was a Runeterra caster. And it was one of those things where it's like, he came in and you could definitely tell he was not a Pokemon player. He did not have much of an idea what was going on there. And that really rings true to me that when you say, oh, you got to be good at the game to cast, You really just need to you need to know what's going on when you're casting a game. You know what I'm, you need to know what certain signs mean. Okay, they have this many cards in hands, they have this many mana. That probably means that they're gonna have this. It's this turn in the game, stuff like that. I think you're super correct in saying that. Yeah, you definitely need to be good at a game to cast well.
Oh, I definitely agree. I have a regular feature on my stream, Try New Decks Tuesday. That was this morning. And when I find these decks, sometimes they're the most popular decks, and sometimes there's some very obscure decks. I tried a Control Warrior deck that just popped up and had some good plays in it, but
yeah.
You don't win when it's Try New Deck Tuesday isn't about winning. In fact, I made sure to get over the one next plateau to Diamond 5 real quickly before I tried the new decks because I knew it was going to be a day of figuring things out. And yeah. You don't want to mess up your climb for a for that experience. But I also try to maintain a schedule. So if I, when I started Try New Decks Tuesday, I made sure to keep it now every single Tuesday so that people knew what to expect.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And yeah, you definitely don't want to mess up your climb while you're going. But yeah, it looks like we're nearing the end of our show here. So I want to give you the platform here and just say, if someone wants to follow you on Twitter, on Twitch, where could they go to do that?
Okay. Well, you can find me on Twitch, AZ Desert Smurf. And I'm also on YouTube. And on my Instagram page, I am utilizing my photography page. And I have no problem with, you know, my name being out there. It's Irene Murphy Photography, because I am a photographer. Awesome. I do have my own photography business. So I have linked all those together, and that's where you can find me. And of course, streaming 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. Monday through Friday, every day, and sometimes on Saturdays and Sundays when I'm not too busy.
Yeah, that's awesome for sure. Venga, if the people wanted to follow you and find you, where could they go to find the hype?
Well, you know, to find me anywhere, it says Venga Dragon. But the best place that you could find me is on the Hype Horizon website, also on Hype Horizon, anywhere on Twitter, Instagram, Discord. It's all a name, Hype Horizon. Just Google it. You'll find Venga Dragon anywhere. I'm everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Go to hypehorizon.com. Go to the website. What are you doing? Go to the website. Yeah, if you guys want to follow me, I am at Stay Super. That's STAYY Super. And be sure to look out for the podcast posting up on the YouTube. That's the Hype Horizon YouTube. Also, yeah, like Venga said, be sure to check out the Hype Horizon website. And that is going to do it for us this week. Smurf, thanks for coming on. Venga,
thank you,
as always, for hosting with me. And we will catch everyone in the next one.